And I would like for you to turn to the book, actually two different places this morning. First, I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. And I'd like for you to put a marker there in John chapter 14. And then I would like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to speak with you something that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I have been praying, I've been asking the Lord for more of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not like the Holy Spirit is something you measure. He's a person. Did you hear what I just said? You don't measure him and you have more of the Holy Spirit as if you're filling a cup only partway full, overflowing, these kinds of things. But the Holy Spirit, being a person, wants to be such a part of our lives that his manifest presence becomes more and more real in and through our lives and to us as well as to others through us. But that will come as we begin to do what I will be speaking on today. Amen? And so you should have a marker in the Gospel of John chapter 15 and should have hopefully opened on your lap for 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So I want to read one verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's going to be the final verse. Let's actually read verses 11 through 14, if you don't mind, of the close of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians specifically. Verse 11 of chapter 13 says this, "Finally, brothers," and I'm reading from the Modern English Version, "finally, brothers, farewell. Be perfect," another word can be mature. Be full grown, in other words. Be mature, be of good comfort, be of one mind and live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's read that last verse one more time. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And I want to speak with you just for a few minutes this morning on walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me to portray your very heart today to this, your people. For Lord, you desire to make yourself known to each and every one of us. You don't only reveal yourself to those that are called to minister the gospel as far as pastors or evangelists and so on. You want to reveal yourself to each and every one of us as individuals. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help me to portray your heart in a very real way. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you yourself would make your word very real today. For you are a very real person who speaks, who teaches, and who desires to reveal the very deep things of God. And so bless the preaching of your word today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. This portion of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, that final closing verse, is one of the clearest Trinitarian closings in the Bible. Trinitarian meaning believing in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you can see in that verse all three persons mentioned. And this Trinitarian closing of Paul's letter says something very interesting, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've taught 2 Corinthians before. I've read 2 Corinthians. I've read this verse many times. But recently, as I was reading through it, it really jumped out to me in a different way. For you see, whenever you go to Bible school or you are raised in the church and we hear about the Holy Spirit, depending what part of Christianity you are a part of, it doesn't matter the denomination, but As a Pentecostal in the Assemblies of God, we hear a lot about the Holy Spirit. Pentecostals talk a lot about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We talk about speaking with other tongues. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit and so on and so forth, which are all legitimate. But sometimes I've noticed over the years that we're almost discouraged from, talking to the Holy Spirit. From spending time in communion and conversation with God the Holy Spirit, as if He will reveal Jesus, which He does, as if He will only do things in a way that He just seems always to be so obscure and hidden that you can't really develop a relationship with Him. But the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God Almighty, and you and me, we were all created in the very image of God. God's image is in you and me. Humanity is drastically different than the animal kingdom on the outside. Animals don't have relationships like me and you will. God created us in His image in the sense that we take delight in having fellowship with one another. We delight in having relationships. We love to have friends. We take joy in spending time with them. I mean, even today's social movement, I'm talking about Facebooks and all these kinds of things. That social media platform is all about developing relationships. You want to make sure everybody's liking you and not unliking you. Isn't that true? Everybody's friending you. And the element of the social platform is really geared towards your socialness. God created us in His image, and God also takes delight in having relationships. But God wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you. There is no one else that can take your place. He wants a relationship with you. With me as an individual, but with you as an individual. And He wants to be in relationship with you, and He wants you to desire to be in relationship with Him. And whenever we see this verse, and it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." It jumped out at me because that word communion, that word communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, really means in the Greek, fellowship. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And what Paul was saying is that we, as children of the living God, blood washed, born again believers, children of the living God, not only did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were born again, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, yes, the Holy Spirit came to dwell within your heart. But sometimes we can know that in our minds. We can know it theologically. Yes, He's in my heart. But we tend to forget that He's a person that we can develop a vibrant relationship with. We can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And what I want to bring out to you today is that, yes, the Holy Spirit dwells within your heart. But He is with you literally wherever you go. And you can develop, a relationship with the Holy Spirit that can become so real. You see, you don't see Him with your natural eye, but He dwells within your heart, literally. You don't see Him with your natural eye, but He is with you wherever you are. So that means that we don't have to be lonely again. He can become such a real part of your life that you can converse and talk with Him day in and day out wherever you are. And so what I want to express to you today is that the Holy Spirit making His residence within our hearts and within our lives is not just so that we can say, yes, He's in my heart. It's actually so that we can enjoy a real vital relationship with God Almighty through the Spirit of God. When Jesus was here on the earth, there was the day when he approached John the Baptist. And when Jesus approached John the Baptist pointed to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus came to be baptized of John in the River Jordan. John originally tried to stop him, but Jesus said, "We must fulfill all righteousness." And so John eventually baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in the form of a dove and came and abode upon him. That means remained upon Jesus. Now, we all have heard the symbolism of the Holy Spirit. We've heard that the Holy Spirit can be symbolized as fire, but he isn't a fire. He's a person. Amen. But there, the qualities of fire are definitely there as he develops a zeal and a passion for the things of God. He dwelt upon Jesus and landed upon him in a form of a dove, but the Holy Spirit isn't a bird. But the gentleness of that dove is a very real quality of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. Amen. The Bible describes him as living water, a well that will flow from your innermost being, that will never run dry. But he isn't water, he's a person. But he will satiate your thirst like water can. And so Jesus was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and the reality of Jesus' ministry and the power of his ministry was because of the Holy Spirit upon the man, Christ Jesus. But then during the close of his ministry, as Jesus was talking to his disciples before he would leave them, I want you to turn to John chapter 14 so we can see how the Holy Spirit wants to spend time with us. In John chapter 14, Jesus, the final words he was sharing with his disciples before he would die on the cross, shared with them some words that would be words of comfort. In John 14, verse 15, I want us to read a few verses here. It says this, verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor or comforter, that he may be with you forever." I want you to say forever. Amen. He will be with you forever. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Why? It says, "For it does not see him, neither does it know him, but you know him. For he lives with you and shall be in you." Think about that statement here. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's saying, "I will pray for the Holy Spirit to come into your life and he will never leave you." And he's saying the world can't receive the Holy Spirit because they don't know who he is. Notice that. They don't see him. They don't even know him, but you know him, for he lives with you and shall be in you. And I want to just think about something here with you. If they could know him, that means that there was something real about this relationship they had, not only with Jesus, but also with the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus sent them out two by two to preach the gospel, and miracles took place through their ministries. And they came and began to tell Jesus all the miracles that took place. And he said, "Don't rejoice about the miracles, rejoice that your names are written down in heaven." Amen. So they knew the Holy Spirit. They had moved in the Spirit. He says, "He's with you, but he shall be in you." And then he says, "I will not leave you fatherless, I will come to you." Wow. The relationship between Jesus and the Spirit of God is so intertwined that Jesus is telling them, "Look, I'm about to leave you. But," he's saying, "I will pray for him to give you another comforter, someone just like me. And he will never leave you." And he says there, "The world doesn't know him, but you know him. He's with you and shall be in you." And he says, "I will not leave you fatherless, I will come to you." And so the reality of the Holy Spirit and how He will work in our lives is to reveal, yes, the person of Jesus Christ, because He is the Spirit of Christ. He says, yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. But look at verse 22 here, or 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one that keeps His commandments is the one that loves Him. And that's true, isn't it? If we really love someone, we will obey them. And He says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. It's interesting when it says, reveal myself to him. It also comes from one of the Hebrew words. And it takes us back to the story of Moses. And there was a time when Moses said to God, and he says, Lord, show me your glory. He said to God, I want to see you. Reveal yourself to me. And the Bible says that God said, I will show myself to you. And the Bible says that Moses, in the cleft of the rock, saw God pass by. And he looked. He says, I won't let you see my face because no one can see my face and live. So he covered his eyes as he passed by and he saw his backside. And what's interesting about this revelation that Jesus says, we will reveal ourselves to you, is that same revelation of the glory of God in our lives. You see, and what Jesus is saying here is that God wants to reveal himself to you and to me. Sometimes in this modern day, we're almost taught to believe that God is just so there. I mean, yes, he exists, but as if we can't even experience him. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to reveal himself to you, and you can have an experience with God Almighty today. It can be a life-changing experience. A real revelation of God Almighty to where you can have an experience with God. And I'm not telling you stories. I'm talking of through experience. I'm talking about experiencing God Almighty in your life. Not only seeing Him answer your prayers, but even sensing His presence in such a real way that you can't even explain it with human words. I remember as a young Christian, I can't even say how long in the Lord I was, but I was drinking from the cup and I was overflowing. And I remember I was in the church, the Little Assembly of God church there in Capulene, and I was standing there. And my dad at that particular time was an alcoholic to the max. And at that time he walked in to church, to my surprise, and he went towards the front. And I remember my uncle, who's the pastor, began to say, you know, just said, can we pray for you? And he said, sure. And he went up and they began to pray for him. And I remember as my uncle was praying for him, I was way in the back. I was, as far as this church is concerned, I was probably where Sister Teresa and Brother Luis are in the back. I was that far back there. And I was, wow, look, there's Dad, whatever. And I remember as I was standing there, just touched by God, I felt the Holy Spirit flowing through me in waves. I mean, literally from the tip of my head going down and up and down through me. It was like rivers of electricity and glory flowing through me. Why am I saying this? I'm saying you can have real experiences with God. He wants to reveal Himself to you. Amen. He isn't the figment of our imagination. He's not a storybook character. God is very real. He's more real than the pew you are sitting in. And the Bible says that God the Father and God the Son want to reveal themselves to us. And I'm here to tell you, He will reveal Himself to you and to me through the Holy Spirit. Our generation needs a touch of God again. We need the Holy Spirit to flow through our lives and touch our lives in life-changing ways. It's not enough to hear the stories of what happened with John Wesley, and they talk about the power of God coming upon individuals. It's not enough to hear about the revivals of the past or the Pentecostal outpourings of Azusa Streets. Or even in the modern day with the charismatic movement, the school that we were a part of, David Wilkerson, was at the head of that particular charismatic renewal. Even Roman Catholics were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, loving Jesus with all of their hearts. He He wants to reveal himself to you. Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14 said, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 14, verse 25. Jesus said, I've spoken these things to you while I am still with you, but the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Let me ask you this. If he can teach, that means he can speak. And if he's going to teach you, it means he's going to talk to you. Amen?
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. But there are so many times that we neglect our fellowship with him. We neglect the prayer closet. We neglect our communion with him throughout the day, that there isn't a communion going on between us. Do you hear what I'm saying? But when we begin to understand that the Holy Spirit is truly with us, it's true, wherever we go, it will begin to change a lot about our lives. It'll begin to determine what we're looking at on television, because we'll grow uncomfortable because we know the Holy Spirit doesn't want to hear that junk. You know, the other day, we were wanting to watch a particular show on television, and, you know, it seems interesting. The commercials seemed like, maybe that'd be an interesting show. And so we said, well, let's see if it's a nice one. And we turned on to it, and, man, you couldn't even watch 2 minutes of it before you say, we got to turn this off. Something's wrong with it. I mean, it seems like it's going to be innocent. Something that's going to just make you laugh. But before you know it, it's hitting you. It's not right. It's saying words they shouldn't be saying. It's insinuating things that should not be. And whenever you understand the Holy Spirit is there, right there with you, beholding the same things you are, amen? We will turn it off, or we'll change the channel. And so I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit is where we are. But we need to acknowledge it. Remember, Proverbs chapter 3 says we must acknowledge God, acknowledge Him in all of our ways. All of our ways. We don't just acknowledge the Holy Spirit on a Sunday morning, God forbid. Amen? Let's see here. Look at chapter 16 real fast of the Gospel of John. And I want to just bring something out here. Chapter 16. And let's look at the second half of verse 4. It says this, I did not tell you these things at the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? Or rather, sorrow has filled your heart because I told you these things. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you. Or in other words, it's very important for you that I go away. Look what Jesus is saying. It's actually extremely important. You may not understand it now, for me to go. But he says, it's expedient that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Comforter, or the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Look at verse 12. He says, I have yet many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, you can't handle it right now. But when the Spirit of the truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Look at verse 14. He will glorify me, for He will receive of me and will declare it to you. What does that mean? He's going to speak. Amen? He's going to declare it to you. Look at verse 15. And all the Father has is mine, therefore I said that He will take what is mine and will declare it to you. All of this to say that the Holy Spirit has come. Jesus has said clearly, it's important that I go, because if I don't go, He won't come. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Right before this, Jesus is about to go to the cross. I mean, the next day, the next few hours, He's going to be taken captive and eventually go hang on a cross. They would never have Jesus the same way again. And sorrow has taken hold of their hearts. If you were the disciples, you would have been the same way. Jesus is about to leave me. It's heartbreaking. He says, sorrow has filled your heart. But he's saying, it's important that I go. And their heart was so broken that even after the resurrection, Peter would say, I'm going fishing. He went to his old trade. He was almost like, I don't know what else to do. But then, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came upon that bunch of believers and it changed their course. And you never find them heartbroken about Jesus leaving anymore, because now they were in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That word fellowship is a word that in the Greek means koinonia. And it's a koinonia word. If you ever see that word, it just really speaks of fellowship. But looking up fellowship, that word fellowship means this. It means friendly association, especially with people who share one's interests. That's beautiful, right? Fellowship is also this. This is what we do as a church. It's a group of people meeting to pursue a shared interest or aim. It's also in regards to, listen to this, the status of a fellow of a college or society. It's like fellows in a college gathering together, and they're like-minded people speaking with each other about things that are common in the group. That means if you're going to have fellowship with God's Holy Spirit, there's going to be a friendly association with Him. That we are going to begin to talk with Him and express our needs and even acknowledge His presence in our lives. And the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal Jesus to you like you never thought Jesus could be revealed to you before. Amen? Listen to me. Going to Bible college isn't going to give you a greater revelation of Jesus. It may give you more understanding of the Bible and the background and contexts. And if you're in Bible college, spending time with Him in prayer, you will get a greater revelation of Him. But it's not an educational thing that's going to give you a greater knowledge of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will reveal these things to you. And so I'm here to remind you, even myself, of the importance of being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Paul said again in 2 Corinthians 13:14, he says, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Or in other words, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You can have a relationship with Him that will become vibrant and real. And He can use your life to bring the presence of God to your situation, to your home, to your neighborhood. He's there with you at school. He's with you at work. He's with you when you're driving, when you're walking. Amen? When you're fishing. And we can have communion with Him. You can have fellowship with Him there. Amen? It's a real, real relationship. Amen? You know, my wife and I, we've been married, what's going on? What's it going to be this year? 19 years? 19 years. And we go together, we're together almost 24-7 all the time. But we're not always talking 24-7. But when we're driving down the road, sometimes we're just listening to the music on the radio, or sometimes a thought pops into our mind and there we are conversing. Amen? It's a relationship. Sometimes we make a point, we have to talk about this. Sometimes she's the one telling me because I'm distracted with something. And so then it's make time, we got to talk about this. Amen? Sometimes it's just talking about things, remembering things, laughing. Amen? Other times it's serious things. But a real relationship is like that. Amen? Even with your best friend, are you always talking to your best friend? No, sometimes you're just hanging around together. Amen? Not even saying anything. That's the way your relationship with the Holy Spirit should be. Talk to Him. Laugh with Him. Talk to Him about the things that you enjoy and you don't like and all those things that trouble you, but tell Him about things you... Let's laugh together, Holy Spirit. Amen? Do y'all hear what I'm saying? A real relationship with God Almighty that is real and vibrant. There will be times when you understand, Lord, we're here, we're together, but you don't have to say a lot. Sometimes He'll start talking to you. Amen. Amen. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand real fast, and we're going to have a time of prayer together. And we're going to have a quick meeting, I hope. But I want us to open up our hearts to the Lord right now. And If this word today has spoken to you in a personal way, if God has spoken to you through this word today, and you know it's between you and Him, I don't need to know anything. But you need to just talk to Him a little bit this morning. I want us to come to the altar and let's talk to the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit in our church. We need Him to be so filling this congregation, this church, that when people come in, they sense God's love, His Spirit here. Amen. And so if that's you and we just want to spend time with Him in prayer here at the altar, I want you to come and we're going to pray. I'm going to begin praying and you can come while we're praying. And you talk to the Lord. You talk to Him. Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. And I thank You, Lord, for the finished work of Calvary. I thank You that, Lord Jesus, You willingly gave Your life on the cross so that we could be made righteous by faith. And because we have been made completely righteous and holy in Your sight by faith, that, Lord, Your Holy Spirit has now come to make His residence within our hearts. And, Lord, according to Your word, You desire to reveal Yourself to us as we, Lord God, love You. For the Lord, the Scripture says, if we truly do love You, we will obey You and keep Your word. And so I pray that as we obey You and as we love You with all of our hearts, I pray that You truly will manifest Yourself to us. Lord, I acknowledge that, Lord, we sometimes can want to begin to think that this relationship is just nothing of manifestation or no real tangible experiences. But Lord, I pray that You would begin to reveal Yourself to us, manifest Yourself in our lives in such a way that that experience will be so real that it'll change the course of our lives. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, that You would make Jesus so real in our lives that, Lord, it would change the course of our lives. Holy Spirit, we want to know Jesus more. We want to have a deep relationship with You. And so we want a fellowship with You, Holy Spirit. Forgive us for the times that we don't acknowledge Your presence in our lives, where You are there with us. It doesn't matter where we are or where we go or what we're doing. You are there as our friend, the one that we have similar things to talk about. But we are Your children. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would forgive us for the times of our own neglect. I include myself. And I pray that, Lord, we would begin to acknowledge that You are there with us, that we will commune with You in our hearts. We would commune out loud, that, Lord, we will have fellowship together. I pray that, Lord, as we are communing with You and talking to You, that, Lord, You would begin to speak to us and that Your voice will truly make the difference in our lives. Lord, You are real. Lord, You're more real than the floor we are on. Lord, You're very, very real. And help us to understand that You want to reveal Yourself to us, that You delight in revealing Yourself to us. Oh, Lord, You have said clearly that if we will seek You with all of our hearts, You will be found of us. That, Lord, if we draw near to You, You will draw near to us. And so help us to do our part. And Holy Spirit, forgive us. Help us to begin to acknowledge Your ways and Your presence in every moment and every day of our lives. Forgive us for the times that we've allowed maybe things through the television or things and sit through things without even considering Your holy presence in our lives. Help us, Lord, to truly acknowledge You in all of our ways. And Lord, I pray for all of these that are here that You would speak to them. For Lord, You love them individually. Lord, You delight in hearing their voice. Lord, there was no one else that can take their place in regards to how You want to have a relationship with them. Speak to them in a way that they will hear You. And I pray that, Lord, You'd reveal Your love and Your holiness, Your beauty to them. Lord, baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Let them begin to speak with other tongues. Let them begin to grow in the Spirit and operate in the gifts, I pray. But I pray even above the gifts that, Lord, we will seek You as the one given in the name of Jesus. Oh God, fill us with Your Holy Spirit, we ask. Fill this church with more of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we acknowledge You more, manifest Yourself here. And we thank You for all that You're doing in this place. I thank You for all that You're doing in my own life. Holy Spirit, do something beautiful in all of us, we pray. And we thank you for all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 He loves you. He loves you. Praise the Lord. And he wants to reveal himself to you more than you realize. More than we all realize. Amen. Amen.